Matthew chapter 12, we are going to look this morning at the vital importance of faith. Vital, critical importance of faith. Believing, confessing, trusting, bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Critical importance. The main portion of our text is going to be verses 31 and 32, which say, Matthew 12, verse 31, our Lord said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." He said the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, that is the one thing that will never be forgiven. All manner of sin. What relief and joy we ought to hear that he said all manner of sin and blasphemy committed against me shall be forgiven. Thank God. Thank God. But he said the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, that is the one thing that will never be forgiven. This is an important portion of Scripture. Very, very important. And there are times when I feel that we need to look at a large portion of Scripture to understand the context of what is being said. And this is one of those times. I want to see everything that our Lord said before that statement and after that statement. Everything that He has to say here so we can really understand what He means by this. To get right to it, let's ask this question. What is the work of God's Holy Spirit? What is the work of the Spirit? The Holy Ghost, as the Lord said it right here. The work of the Father, to just backtrack and recap just a little bit. The work of the Father was He chose every person that would be saved. If we want to cut to the heart of it, that's it. That's what the Father did. The work of the Son was He redeemed. That means He bought back. God's people were sold into sin and sold into ruin, and He bought back. He purchased with His own blood every soul that would be saved. Every one of them. And the work of the Spirit is He calls to come. The Spirit is the one that through the Word says, come. Calls to come. He gives quickening life and the ability to come to every sinner that will be saved. Every one of them. And He does this by testifying of, that means speaking of, teaching of, showing, revealing, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how He does it. The evidence of who God has done this for. The Father chose some people. The Son redeemed some people. The Spirit will call those people. The evidence is those people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to Christ. They come in the heart. They come in the mind. They come in the soul. They come humbly. They come bowing. They believe the Lord Jesus Christ. They are called and they come. They respond to the Spirit. Every one of them will do this. Every single one of them will do this. Look with me at John 14. John 14. This is where the Lord is saying, I will send the Comforter to you, who is the Spirit, and He will teach my words to you. John 14 in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me. Now I want to point out that if we love him, it's because he first loved us. All right, so this is the result. All right, this is not the cause. If we love him, it's because he first loved us. In verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. The words of mine that the Spirit brings to him. That word keep means hold to. It means love. It means believe. He will hold to my words. He will love my words. He'll believe my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Look at John 16, two chapters over. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will convince. That's what the word reprove means. He will convince the world, every person he comes to in the world, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. You see that right there? Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And what that's saying is when God's Spirit comes and testifies and reveals and does this work, he convinces the people he comes to of their own sin. Their own sin. They are convinced of their own sin. And they're convinced of the righteous. The opposite of sin is righteousness. Sin is wickedness. It's evil. Righteousness is rightness. That's goodness. Good doing. He will convince them of the righteousness of Jesus Christ because he went to the Father and you don't see him anymore. The Father accepted him. He said, welcome in. And he will convince of judgment. Because the prince of this world has been judged. The judgment that God's people endured on the cross of Calvary. In Christ. No more judgment's done for God's people. No more condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that's the evidence of life and salvation. Being convinced of that. He said the Spirit will bring these words to you and you'll love them. And you'll believe them, and you'll cling to them. And I want to make this really, really clear at this moment. A man or a woman won't cling to his own words. As you go out there and you talk to people, you're going to hear everybody say all kinds of stuff. The biggest problem that men and women have is they have no idea what's in this book. And they think that everybody's quoting stuff out of this book, and they're not. They're not. And so you're going to hear all this stuff, and you're going to hear people who are just convinced of things that you can't find in this book. And what our Lord is saying is, when my Spirit comes to a person, he will not cling to and love and believe his own words. And he will not cling to and love and believe the words of another man. He will cling to and love and believe the inspired words of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one who inspired all of these words right here. And it'll be this alone. It'll be this alone. The man or the woman who the Spirit comes to and convinces of this, that man or woman will say, let God be true and every man a liar. And he will be talking about, and she will be talking about himself or herself. I don't care what I think. It's this alone. It's this alone. I cling to this alone. I cling to His truth alone. I believe Him alone. That's it. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians 2, Paul is warning here of not being deceived away from the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Verse 3, he said, "Let no man deceive you by any means." He goes on down to say in verse 10, speaking of deceivers and those who are deceived, verse 10, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Those who are deceived, he said, they're going to perish. And here's the reason why. This is the fine line, dividing line. Okay, this is the reason. He went on to say it's because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They received. That's an important word. If we receive a love for the truth, if we believe it, if we bow to it, that's God's gift to us. That is God's gift to us. That's God's work in us. He gets the credit for it. He gets the glory for it. Ephesians 2:8 says, "Faith is not of ourselves." That's the gift of God. Hebrews 12:2 says, "He's the author of it, the finisher of it." And receiving that gift of faith from Him, that is the critical evidence of salvation. Look at verse 11 right here. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit." The Spirit setting apart, calling apart, and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all going to come down to this. He that believeth on the Son hath. And that means that's the evidence. That's the evidence of God's gift and God's work. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." You see why the disciples cried, "Please increase our faith. Please increase our faith." God's people will hear this and will cry, "Please increase my faith. I believe you. I believe that. I'm at your mercy." Those who are not God's people and don't receive His Spirit, it'll go in one ear and out the other. They'll think in their, "I'm good. I'm good." God's people cry, "Please don't leave me here. Please don't damn me. Please don't condemn me. Please have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me." Go to one more place with me. Go to 1 John 5. First John 5. verse 9, it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, has that witness. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, that's the issue. That's the dividing line, believing the record that God has given to his Son. Now, go with me back to Matthew chapter 12. This faith is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something that we can decide to produce or decide to have. It must come from him. When it comes from him, it's irresistible. It's not that he sends it, but I rejected it. It's irresistible faith. It's irresistible grace. It's an irresistible gift. But God's Holy Spirit calls his people through the Word. And he reveals to them their condition through the Word. And we are about to witness people and conditions and states that if God does not move, they're going to die in their sins. And if we're in this position, we're going to die in our sins. But it's through this declaration that God opens eyes. It's through this declaration that men and women see, that's me. And my prayer is that he will cause us to see this. My prayer is that he will cause us to come. My prayer is that through this we might turn from all of our idolatry to the true and living God and say, I believe that. I'm out of that. All right, so let's look at this together. Our Lord here is giving us examples of what we read a moment ago. He's clarifying what he means. Look with me at verse 22, Matthew 12, verse 22. It says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, when they heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Those Pharisees did not believe him. They did not believe on him. They did not believe him. The Pharisees trusted in the law. That was it to them. And here this man comes along, providing free grace and free healing and free mercy. And they didn't like it. And they did not believe it. They looked to the law and not him. And they did not believe on him. And they told men and women, don't believe on him. By preaching their law, they were telling men and women, don't believe on him. Don't look to him. He's not of God. He's of the devil. That's of the devil. They pointed men to the law and not to Christ. They said, don't believe him. Now that's blasphemy. That's obviously blasphemy. Look at verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Now I want to point this out. I just described a bunch of Pharisees and what they were doing. Saul of Tarsus did that. Is there hope for somebody in that condition? Saul of Tarsus did that. All of those people at the cross, thousands of people hated him, mocked him, cursed him, spit on him. But this is what the Apostle Paul said. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. God's Spirit hadn't come to me yet. The Lord told Peter, the Spirit hasn't come yet. I must go so I can send him to you. And he's coming on Pentecost. And the Spirit came and Peter said, I understand the Scriptures. And they preached the gospel and all those people at the cross who hated him, boom, they bowed the knee. And they cried, I believe you. And Saul of Tarsus said, it was like scales fell from my eyes. And I saw what I was, a self-righteous Pharisee who told people, don't listen to him. But God had mercy on me. He sent his Spirit to me. And then he said, we're not of them who draw back. We believe. That was then. But I believe now. I believe him now. Verse 32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, and the tree is a man. And if the tree's going to be good, God is the one who has to make him good by putting Christ in him. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. The fruit of the man is what comes out of his heart. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I'm sure you've heard something along these lines before. I am absolutely shocked by how often I hear this. I'm shocked. Concerning preachers or concerning hearers who hear these particular preachers. It'll be said, they believe this, they just won't preach it. Oh, they believe this. They just won't stand up and preach it. They believe the truth of God's sovereignty and the truth of His absolute finished work of salvation, but they just won't stand up and preach it. Not so. That's not so. That is not so. If a man truly believed the promise of God of eternal judgment and condemnation on the man who stands up and tells lies on God's sovereignty and God's finished work, if a man truly believed that, he would fear God and not men. If a man truly believed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, he would stop standing up telling men and women that they needed to earn their own. He would stop. Our Lord said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And claiming to be a secret believer, that is blasphemy. That is blasphemy. Not being willing to confess Jesus Christ from the rooftops, that is blasphemy, and God said it's not going to be forgiven. Be warned. I hope that if that's me, God will expose that to me, and I will say, I believe you. I confess you. I'll tell everybody. They may kick me out of every church in town. So what? I confess you. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. They openly said, we will believe you if you'll prove it to us. That's blasphemy. By his grace, I'm telling you, it's all by his grace. We don't take credit. We're not lifted up in pride. We're not. It's by his grace. But by his grace and by God's work in his people, they believe him whether he ever proves it to them or not. Hebrews 11 said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job, are you going to make him prove all this to you before you'll believe on him and bow to him? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He told Thomas, your eyes have seen me. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed. It is a God-blessed person who is given the ability to just believe Christ, believe his word, cast his all on Christ. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, Christ crucified is the only sign my people need. Christ crucified is all my people need to believe on me. That's it. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. It is my desire to not just leave chapter 12. I want to come back and look at different places and I want to look at the story of Jonah. But what he's saying right here is the people of Nineveh heard the preaching of Jonah and they repented. That means they had a changed mind. They believed him. And he's saying that will be to the condemnation of all those who don't believe it. Verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I most definitely want to look at the story of the queen of Sheba. But what he's saying is, she heard the call and she came running. Oh, Lord, create that in me. Create that in me. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. It's talking about the unclean spirit. Walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. Talking about the person he came out of. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. What he's saying is, if God's spirit does not dwell in a man or a woman, an evil, wicked spirit does. It's one of the two. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening power, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Please, please. Verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. What is the will of the Father concerning his people? He said, whoever does the will of my Father, that's my brethren. What is the will of the Father concerning his people? Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, hear him. Bow the knee to him. God the Father raised him up that everything might bow the knee to him and every tongue might confess he's Lord. He is Lord. He said, the soul that does that, the soul that has been caused to do that, the soul, the sinful, wicked soul that has graciously been overpowered and caused to do that. He said, that's the evidence that that's a member of my family. Chosen of the Father, redeemed of the Son, called of the Spirit. That's the evidence. To that, all of God's people say, if that's the evidence, this is what we say. If faith in Christ is the evidence, Lord, increase our faith. Please increase our faith. We believe, help our unbelief. Send your Spirit, create faith, draw us nearer, save us. Lord, save me, like Peter cried. Have mercy on me. Be gracious to me. Cause me to cast my all on you. May he cause us to cast our all on him. May God give us faith in Christ. If he does, everything else will be fine. All right, you're dismissed.